We've all heard of human activities have caused environmental deterioration. Yes. But every day when we start our cars, we could be making the situation worse. Tomorrow, September the 22nd, marks World Car Free Day. This day aims to help highlight the pollution of the world caused by car use, impossibly convince us to leave the car at home and have at least a no-car day. Okay, so let's get into a little bit of explanation and history of World Car-Free Day.
Okay, firstly, let's take a look at the definition of this event. So the World Car-Free Day is a global event, and which is held on September the 22nd. As implied in its title, the event encourages drivers to give up their cars for just a day and use public transportation by riding a bicycle or just simply walk. So we can also take a look at the history of this event. So the first car-free days were organized in the UK, Iceland, and France in 1995. So the same year, the World Car-Free Day Consortium was established to support such campaigns worldwide. And also the first nationwide campaign was organized by the Environmental Transport Association in the United Kingdom in 1997. Then the French followed suit in 1998 as In Town Without My Car, this is the name of the event. And also in 2000, the European Commission supported the initiative and held the Europe-wide Car-Free Day on September the 22nd. That same year, the campaign went global thanks to the World Car-Free Network. So this is a basic history and background information of this World Car-Free Day.
It makes a lot of sense that it starts in Europe. The countries are a bit smaller and the public transportation is really developed there. From my travels there in Denmark, actually, a lot of people ride bikes. I mean, you have to watch yourself when you walk across the street, not from a car, but from a bike. So it's just, you know, it seems to be common for a lot of people in Europe to want to use less cars and ride bikes.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I also remember back when I was living in London, back in the good old days, still pursuing a degree, not working every day. I remember that lots of people who work in the city, like in the financial sector, who wear suits and tie to work. Well, Tony does the same. and they had to travel pretty long distance. And the first mode of transportation comes to mind would be possibly taking the train or, you know, the subway. They call it underground there in London. But lots of people still would want to cycle to work and just bring another set of clothes or leave it in the office. And cycling in and out of work is sort of a really appreciated way of transportation. And it kind of also signifies that you're a person with taste and also kind of looks after yourself and the environment. So it's really interesting how this understanding or mentality that's surrounded when it comes to transportation and how do you get in and out of work, that kind of thing. Why do you think that this World Car-Free Day has come into existence?
Well, according to the Washington Post, the event provides improvement of mass transit, cycling and walking, and the development of communities where jobs are closer to home and where shopping is within walking distance. Of course, it's impossible to give up cars for good, but the development of public transportation systems might encourage people to drive less. And this hits home for me because back in the United States, a lot of people that I know and around me don't really take the public transportation system that's available. In rural areas, I feel that it's really undeveloped, so a lot of people need to have a car to get around. And but in my particular case, it's not really that way. Our local grocery store is about 8 minutes walking distance away, but unfortunately, we still drive. So I feel like something like this event needs to, you know, have more of a presence in the United States because more people, I feel, need to do a little bit more walking. Absolutely.
Well, sorry to stop you there, but if it's in the U.S., then we know it's a massive country with very different landscape from state to state.
Right.
And also the urban and rural setting is very different as well. Mm. A lot of Chinese people learn about the U.S. through Hollywood movies. And we think that, oh, is it the concrete jungle like what Alicia Keys and Jay-Z sung and rapped about? That's like America. But actually, when you visit the country, you realize the so-called concrete jungle actually only comprises very tiny part of the country. And do you think that in places like the New York City, Manhattan, I'm not even talking about Brooklyn. Mm. So what in these places, when congestion is really severe, then possibly this kind of cycling or no car arrangement would be more popular because there isn't as much necessity of driving.
Right. Like in places, bigger cities, definitely New York City. I have family in New York, and a lot of them, actually quite a few of them, ride bikes. But the subway is king in New York. San Francisco, you see a lot more cycling, people taking the trolley. And so there's definitely a presence of public transportation in bigger cities throughout the U.S. But as you mentioned, the United States is a pretty big country, and there's a lot of rural cities as well. And the public transportation there, I'm from actually a rural city, and the public transportation is just, it's not so good. You have to wait a long time for the buses, and it's just very insufficient. So it's a lot of people are more inclined to just get a car. It's cheaper to get just buy a used car and just drive it around. But for the environment, it's not something that a lot of people are taking into account. So this type of move will definitely help with pollution all over the world. And according to John Walk, director of Clean Air Project, which is a U.S.-based nonprofit, he claims that air pollution in the form of carbon dioxide and methane gas raises the Earth's temperature. And another type of air pollution that is worsened by this heat is smog. Mm-hmm. And my hometown is no stranger to smog. There's smog everywhere in my hometown, unfortunately, because we're in the valley. So a lot of the driving is actually having an impact in my hometown as well. And so it just causes a lot more heat and ultraviolet radiation. Climate change also increases the production of allergens and pollutants in the air, such as mold and pollen. Mm-hmm. Every time the spring and the end of when summer comes along, everyone starts sneezing and coughing because of this increased heat and pollution. So I really think that this initiative will definitely help to reduce some of these things. Also things like traffic, traffic jam. We all have to deal with it, especially in Beijing. Mm-hmm. I've never seen traffic like I've ever seen anywhere in Beijing, where you could just sit in a taxi and not move for like 5 or 10 minutes. It's just like, wow. So definitely being able to utilize buses and cycling could definitely reduce traffic jam all over the world, I imagine. So also, and when you ride a bike, I feel like you can explore the city and wherever you're living in a different way. When you're in a car, you're focused on the driving. But when you're riding a bike, you can definitely feel the air and see the nature around you. And it's healthier. So I think it's a lot better for people to just try to explore other options of transportation. And you save a lot more money. In the United States, it's just the fuel prices just keep going up. I'm from California, and it's like almost $5 a gallon. So it's just a lot of money for us to be able to fuel these cars to keep going. And so it's, I definitely just feel like this event would definitely give some awareness to a lot of things, the environment and our wallets as well.
That's interesting. And sometimes I do feel that mathematics is my major shortage here, as I'm trying to do the math, how much we fill up the car with gas. But I can't really come up with
it. It's tough because in the States we use
gallons.
And everywhere else everyone uses liters.
Yeah. and I drive a pretty fuel efficient small car, and it currently costs me more than 300 yuan to fill it up.
Okay, so that's about 50 American dollars.
Yeah, to fill up that small size car.
That sounds right about right. In the United States, my mother actually has an economy car, and it takes her about $50 to $60 to fill it up.
And yeah, I'm always watching the mileage, and I do not like the feeling when, you need to pay to fill up the car, and that is certainly... It's very expensive, I think, to own a car.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Not only is it gas, you have the insurance you have to watch out for, the maintenance, and it's just, it's very, economically speaking, it's more of a burden to have a car.
Well, that's a really good point. And Huangshan, what are some of the other reasons that you see that gives importance to this day?
I think it's trying to raise people's awareness of protecting the environment and curb the air pollution. Because I think before this event, people may not realize how terrible it is by driving the car every day. So now with this event, I think it's caused people to care more about the environment and climate change. And also, I think this kind of activity is also good for health, because according to a 2015 report on the U.S. news website, Newsweek.com, it said that people are dosing themselves with high levels of harmful air pollution every time they stop at the red light, because by braking at traffic lights and then accelerating when they turn green makes up only around 2% of the time a driver spends in their car. So also, the concentration of pollution particles in this moment is as much as 29 times higher than concentration seen while the car is simply like moving. So I think it can help us to be more healthier.
I'll have to keep that in mind when I'm in the taxi in Beijing, when we're stuck in traffic and all of the pollution I'll be breathing in. So I may have to consider walking or getting a bike. I haven't really ridden any bikes since I've been in Beijing, but you know, it's a new day. Maybe I can consider doing it.
And is it also a good exercise, because people like us, we have very limited time to work out. So maybe riding a bicycle is a good way to work out, because you can keep fit by riding a bicycle. And also you can walk to the subway station and taking the public transport. But I think the terrible thing in Beijing is usually during the peak hours, the public transportations are overpacked and they're super like crowded. And we earlier talked about a commute time. Usually it takes like 2 hours for people to commute from their workplace to the home.
Absolutely.
But I think public transportation is still more convenient than driving a car, because the traffic jam. And also, I think for the cost, in Beijing, you also need to pay for the parking fee. Usually it's quite high.
Yeah.
And because you need to pay the fee double times, because you need to pay the parking lot and the fee in your workplace and also in your apartment.
Yeah, or you just really shell out at one go and purchase a parking space, which is often very expensive considering the location of your property.
Mm.
Yeah, and it's interesting to see this World Car-Free Day has made its way into China as well.
Yeah.
How is it being celebrated, I suppose, in China?
I think this event has developed over the years. So this event first came to China in 2000, and the Chengdu of the Sichuan province started the first ever car-free day in China. So on that day, common cars were not allowed to be driven in certain parts of the city. Then when it comes to 2007, and according to a report by the China Daily, the Chinese government urged people in 108 cities, including like Beijing, Shanghai, and Tianjin, people to walk, ride bicycles, and use public transport instead of driving cars for a week until September the 22nd. And when it moves to 2014, the number of cities joining in these activities has increased to 154. And then when it comes to 2015, the number increased to 170 cities joining the activity. I think for this year, we can take a look at of what kind of activities will be held for celebrating this event. I think for Beijing and the there's a month-long activities, actually. It would continue in the September. So it encouraged employees to ride bicycles and green transportation, of course, and which would combine taking exercise, easing traffic congestion, and public welfare together. So there was another cycling activity on last Saturday, which about over 10,000 people, including members of the Miyun Cycling Association, those cycling fans and honorary citizens, they took part in the activity to mark the 60th anniversary of the construction of the Miyun Water Reservoir, but also celebrating the World Car-Free Day.
Wow, that sounds excellent. I think right now is a really good time because of the weather.
Yeah.
This summer was brutal, and now you have wind, and you have clear blue skies, and you got the leaves starting to change colors now. So it's really inspiring for me. I'm actually looking forward to maybe even getting a bike and riding it over the holiday.
Yeah, and Beijing is most beautiful, in my opinion, in autumn time. And also spring.
Yeah.
But those glorious days, they pass by just like the fleeting moment.
They don't last very long, unfortunately.
Very short.
Yeah, so you know, the weekend coming up, maybe get out of the city and try to do something that will get you closer to nature. That sounds just absolutely fantastic. And actually, just listening to what you guys have said about this World Car-Free Day, I can't help but feel a little bit skeptical. But before I get into that part, I'd just like to say one thing about all car owners in Beijing, that we are already actively participating every week. That is, we have the car plate alteration system. There's one day in the
week,
among the 5 working days every week, you cannot drive a car. Although you own the private car, you paid a handsome amount, pay tax as well, but you don't drive it. Why? Because the government told you, and yes, as a law-abiding citizen, you want to make contribution to the blue skies. So you don't want to, you know, contribute to the smog situation. So yes, there's one day every week that we don't drive, and there's no one to compensate the car growing old. As there's one day you can't drive it, but you know, that's okay. I mean, so there is this effort that's already that we've given to maintaining the environment in Beijing.
That was a big shock to me, actually, when I first came to China, when my friends who had vehicles would say, "Oh, I'm not going to be able to drive tomorrow. I'll be taking the subway." And I was just like, "Oh, why? You have a car?" And they're just like, "Oh, well, we can't." And I was just like, "Oh, why can't you?" And it's just like, "Oh, yeah, we have to, you know, we're mandated to drive certain days, and 1 or 2 days of the week we can't drive during this time." And I was shocked because at that time I was still adjusting to the culture, and I was just like, "Oh, wow, you can't drive on certain days." And I can only imagine if that was to take place back in the States, I think people would, I don't know if they would be able to handle not being able to drive one day. I mean, just thinking back, you know, with my family, I mean, my family drives everywhere, even if it's to the store, even if it's to the park, and the park is like 5 minutes away, they get in their cars and they drive. And it's just, you're just so used to it. It's just the convenience and just having that, you know, having to compromise for that one day. I think it would be a lot. It would be a lot for Pete to ask from a lot of people, but I definitely feel bringing awareness of some of the benefits that it can bring for everyone, our health and the environment, will definitely, you know, persuade people, I feel.
Actually, I have a question for He Yang, because I don't drive a car, so I think this policy is not a big deal for me. But for you, a car driver, do you think this policy actually influence your daily life, or the day you can drive a car, or influence your schedule?
Very much. Okay, so let's say if we have a dinner party arranged one day during the week, and possibly, you know, people will have a little bit of wine, that kind of thing. Yeah, arrange it on the day when you can't drive.
Oh, yeah.
And, well, it influences my fashion choice for the day, especially shoe choice. But this is more of the frivolous side. But if I look deeper into this, certainly every week I'm aware, made aware that maybe I shouldn't drive because the city's telling me that you can't do it on one day every week. Mm. So I'm constantly being reminded of it. And sometimes it's kind of mixed feelings that you get from it. But certainly, you know, I'm a good citizen. I want to do my part to make our environment better. Although sometimes I do question if my little effort will achieve the greater end of things to that extent. But I have another question for you, actually, Tony. I know you really want to speak right now. But before we run out of time, nowadays it seems like every day is marked by an observance of some illness or cause or World Car-Free Day. Do you think that these kind of special days are effective in achieving the good cause that it's trying to promote?
I really feel that it depends on how you approach people with the information. For myself, I consider myself a health enthusiast, so just giving me statistics when Huangshan was reading them earlier about the gas that we're breathing in from when we stop at the brake lights, it was enough for me to actually consider and think about driving less because I value my health. And I realize that there's people out there that may not have the same feelings towards certain things, and they feel some people have this mentality that, well, you know, we're all headed in the same direction, so it doesn't really matter. I want to just have a very convenient life. And so for some people, I feel that this type of information may not appeal to them. But I think depending on who backs it and who, you know, how maybe perhaps the government markets it to everyone, that perhaps people can get on the bandwagon a little bit more. Because I think just saying that it's a car day, don't drive for one day, it may not reach a lot of people because it's definitely an inconvenience for everyone, especially nowadays with the conveniences of cars. But I really feel that if you market some of how it can benefit people and how it could benefit their health, then I think it'll get people to start thinking a little bit differently.
I think after learning Hoyang's personal experience, I cannot understand why people hold a mixed feeling or questions the effectiveness of this policy, because it's only a campaign or just happened in one day. To be honest, this is my first time hearing about this event. And I think besides this kind of campaign, the government need to take more concrete measures. For example, try to perfect the public transportation system and to maybe improve the density of metro stations in the city, and also shorten the gap between each buses and to offer more schedules for the buses, and trying to make the public transport system much better.
Yeah, well, those are all some very good suggestions. And with World Car-Free Day, it is not compulsory that you join the activities this day, but certainly that it is one possibly healthy and green option. Mm. And this year, it falls on a Saturday. So, okay, again, a little bit of information about Beijing. That is, on the weekends, motorists can drive. No number plate restriction. Mm. So I do wonder if, you know, it's if this coincidence is a good thing or a bad thing. But certainly raising awareness is what we try to do always on Roundtable. Mm. And, you know, giving you possibly another insight on things. You're listening to Roundtable. Coming up, more interesting discussion. Stay with us.